Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
Genesis 22, verse 17. I will greatly bless you, God says to Abram, and I will greatly multiply your seed. How many of you know we have a good God? We serve a good God. God is a good God. Do you believe that in your heart? He wants the best for us, right? So he says to Abram, I will greatly bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars. Here's where the theme comes from. The stars of the heaven and the sand. Say with me, sand and stars. Say it again, sand and stars. This is Genesis 22, 17. And your seed will possess the gates of their enemy. You have a powerful future, God says to Abram. You have great things in your future. And the challenge about this for Abram was that he had no children. And God's talking about generational blessing through his children. But he had no children. And his wife Sarah was barren. So what God did is he said to him, I want you to look at the stars and I want you to look at the sand. And I want you to keep your eyes on that because your legacy is coming. I want you to keep this dream in your heart. I want you to not get too far from this. Sand and stars. Sand and stars. Now, sand and stars can refer to something different in all of our lives. But I'm using it as a reference to those things that we see in the form of a desire or hope or a vision or a dream that's on the inside of us. And the first part of my message today, I want to talk about the importance. If you want to join in this journey towards sand and stars, it's important that you open up your heart to the hope that God wants to give you. That you open up your heart to the hope. To the hope. To the hope. I felt like this week as I was preparing, I felt like God said, wait, you need to back up. And you need to realize a lot of the people you're talking to have had their desires and their dreams and their vision and their hopes have been sabotaged in their life. And they've lost sight of sand and stars. And you need to go back and you need to tell them that it's very important if you ever hope to experience or ever want to experience sand and stars, that you re-engage in this thing called hope. Because there's people who would say to me right now, Pastor Kevin, you don't know what I've been through, and I'm going to say to you, open your heart to hope. Open your heart to hope. Open your heart. Yeah, Pastor, you know, you're just talking about things like they're out there somewhere, and you don't realize the family I grew up in, you don't realize the opposition I've had, the things that open up your heart to hope. Pastor, my marriage is crazy. Open up your heart. God will not force hope on you, but you can open up your heart. I'm so thankful for over 700 adults right now that are engaged in Financial Peace University in the life of our church. And a lot of this just starts in the mind of someone who says, you know what, I don't want to live this way anymore. I'm burdened down with too much debt. I got too much credit card expenses. And you know what, I'm renting and I don't want to rent. I don't want to rent forever. I want to own a home. And it all just begins with, you know, beginning to take a step to go in the right direction. And that gets ignited by hope. Like there's people who are saying, I don't want to rent forever. I want to own my own home. But that's got to begin by me eliminating non-mortgage debt in my life. Sign me up. It starts with hope. And they began to go down a pathway that is ignited by hope. And this process of seeing sand, that's their sand and stars. And this process is held together and it stays on track by seeing something they don't see. 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 Abram, it's been 10 years. And for those of you who may not know, from the day God used the word picture of stars and sand, it was 20 years before Isaac was born. So somewhere along the way, you've got a guy who's saying, "Where'd the baby?" Like just the first one. It's seeing what you don't see. Wife's not pregnant, no baby crying, making love all the time, telling her this is what we got to do, honey, because God says we got to multiply, you know. And there ain't no baby being born, right? Seeing what you don't see. This is God's way of including us in the creative process. Seeing what you don't see. It's the beginning of the journey where an idea, a desire, a vision, a dream on the inside of you becomes a reality. Seeing what you don't see. I love, last night a man in our church told me that he'd been coming to our church for about 6 years, and in the first year that he was here, he heard the message of tithing, and it was a tough time in his life. And he said, you know, finally I heard that the Bible says, "Test me now," the Lord says, "and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. You know, if you bring the tithe, see if I'll not bless you." And so he was just sharing this with me last night. He said, my life was in a really bad space and place, and I was coming out of a tough season, marriage-wise and so forth. And he says, so my first tithe was like $40, and it was really tough, and I gave it. It's like I just went boom, like that. And what he didn't even maybe realize right then was that was the doorway of hope starting to pop open. Like, oh, okay, well, let's see. I'm gonna put a little hope in this, that God cares about me, God loves me, God knows where I am, and he has a future for me. Here's what he told me. I just heard this last night. He said, this year, Pastor, I have given more so far this year than I made that whole year, that first year I was here. My giving is more than my income was. Somebody shout, wow. So no matter what your circumstance, I'm asking you to come along here. Open your heart to hope. Open your heart to hope. And here's what it says in Romans 4 and 18 about Abram, who is the object of this teaching. It says that even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. No reason to hope. No reason to hope. Sir, please don't let your intellect get in the way of God's plan for your life. Maybe you pride yourself in being really practical, black and white, bottom line, it isn't or it isn't. I want to say, please. You see, you can be really, really intellectual and very, very dumb. I'm sorry. How about just not very smart? And this is one of the areas where if you're not careful in life, you become your own yes and no, will, won't, gonna not happen. You call all the shots. And I want to dethrone you a little bit today. And I want to say there is one higher than you. There is one greater than you. There is one who will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. But it all begins by leaning into the power of hope. Open up your heart. No reason. That's where God does his best work. No reason. That's where God can really come through. Like, you don't understand, the door is slammed shut. It's impossible. Jesus said, all things are possible when you believe. You got to open up. Come on, you got to open up the hope in your heart. The second thing that I want to get to, having to do with sand and stars, is that when you're in pursuit of sand and stars, you got to keep your life free from strife. So if you're after sand and stars, if you're after what God has for you in your future, whether you are right now 12 years old, 14 years old, 18 years old, or 83 years old. If you want what God wants in your life tomorrow, next week, it's absolutely essential that you have hope in your heart and you keep your life free from strife. And what I mean by that is keep it out of your soul. Keep strife out of your soul. Just because there's strife around you doesn't mean that it has to be in you. Wow, 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 wow. And here you might say, well, what's that have to do with it? Well, if strife gets in you, it takes over. Strife will sidetrack you. Strife will take you out of your strength. And strife will take energy and focus away from what God has for you. Proverbs 20 and verse 3 says, any fool can quarrel. Any fool. That kind of goes back to what I was saying about sometimes the intellectual, the high IQ people. They pride themselves in knowing more, so they want to take on debates and engage in, you know, some kind of a exchange. Just be careful, because that doesn't mean you're smart. The Bible says any fool can quarrel. Any fool can quarrel. And if you have sand and stars and you say, you know what, I want this for my marriage, I want this for my children, I want this for my family, I want this for my future, then one of the most brilliant things that you can do in your life is to learn how to keep strife out of your soul. And to understand that just because there's strife around you, it doesn't have a right to get in you. The Bible says, guard your heart. For out of it flows the wellspring of life. Out of your inner man comes your future and comes your life. Got to guard it. The first thing, I'm gonna give you some things that cause strife. I'm going to give you three quick things that cause strife. The first one is unresolved conflict causes strife. Unresolved conflict causes strife. Abram had an experience in Genesis 13 that I want to show you. It reads like this. It's you and I can all relate to this. This is something we can relate to. It says in verse 5, Genesis 13, Lot also, who was Abram's nephew, went with Abram, and he had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great. They're doing so well, like they're growing economically. And their families are growing, and things are their business is growing, and they're doing so great that the land they were in, little 5 acres or whatever, couldn't handle them anymore. And so now there is strife, it says, between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites, the Perizzites that dwell in the land. So strife all around. And Abram says this to Lot. Look at this. Notice this. He says, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Let there be no strife. So what is Abram doing here? He is resolving conflict. He is stepping into a space where the leadership voice was needed. And he's not he's not allowing himself to get caught up in all the stuff. And he just steps in and he appeals to Lot. And he says, Lot, hey, we're brothers. Let's not allow this to take us off course with what God has planned for our lives. What he's basically, you know, what he's basically saying here, guys, is let's not be stupid about this. Let's not sacrifice what God's doing and the blessings of God that are already starting to happen in our life. Let's not allow all of the stuff going on to sabotage the plan that God has and the hope that we have for our lives and for our future. The second thing that I want to talk about what causes strife, because it goes right along with this and we're going to keep sharing the story, is that distraction away from your dreams causes strife. So they work. These two things work together. First of all, you have unresolved conflict. Now you are distracted. And what happens is that you began to put all of your attention into a place that is consuming your mind and your energy. I don't know if you've noticed this, but distracted people, and we've all got them in our life. You've got them. Don't call their name right now unless you're praying for them. But distracted people are all around us every day. We work around distracted people. We do life with distracted people. You have family and friends who are what I'm just calling distracted people. And distracted people who have been distracted from stars and sand in their life, they are people who are quickly given to arguments and controversy and quarreling, and people who have sand and stars in their mind, they don't have time. They don't have time. They don't have the energy, and they got too much going on with where they're going to get caught up in some kind of arguing and fighting. So when I call them distracted people, that doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean that they're mean people. It doesn't mean that you make an enemy out of them. But you need to learn how to differentiate yourself from that crowd and understand that so many people today are missing out on the sand and stars. And one of the primary reasons is people get caught up in strife, and strife gets into their soul. And the distraction away from where they're going causes them to get all caught up in some sort of debate. And then pretty soon, and the reason I say you're working with them and living around them is that pretty soon what they do is they start, that becomes like their life. They're bored without a fight. They want to pick a fight. They want to argue. And then there's negativity. How you doing today? Well, do good. I just watched the news this morning. Right. God bless you. Like, that is your signal. That's your signal. Are you hearing me? And now, if you're okay and you want to waste your whole life in some kind of silly, goofy arguments, even as a husband and wife and a family, like, if you want to keep that up, keep it up, and you will miss the sand and the stars God has planned for you and your children and your grandchildren. And I'm not talking about everybody having to agree. You can disagree and still not have strife in your life. Sheila and I don't agree. Like, my wife and I are so opposite. We look at a wall, and she says it's green, and I say it's gray, and It's like life is that way. Like, and I think by now she'd be tired of being wrong all the time, but.
I love you, baby. I think she's in Bellevue service right now. I love you, yeah.
But honestly, you have to get to the point where you say, there's bigger things for us. It's not about us, like, you know, let's agree on the basics, and that is, like, there's sand and stars. God's got something good. We're not going to get caught up in what we disagree on, this petty stuff, like, this is goofy, it's not going to get in our life. And when we hang around with people who have strife, we're going to get home, we're going to take a shower, we're going to wash it off of us, we're going to pray, and we're going to get it out of our heart. So I love what Abram did. Again, he's our example. So you go to verse 9, and here's what Abram says. He says to Lot, this is the next line. He's like, hey, we're brothers, okay? We can't do this. And then he says, is not the whole land before you? Is not the whole land before you? Is not the whole land, we have a future. We have great opportunity. Is not the whole land before you? And this is what I want you to start elevating your life out of the strife and start lifting your eyes up. I found out as a young pastor, like, I wasn't going to please everybody, and I was going to hear how people didn't like something, and going to get, and man, sometimes I'm like, they're wrong. Like, to this day, I'm not standing up here telling you I got this mastered. I'm telling you I'm in a fight with me every day because it wants to pull me in. I want to get in there. I want to let you know what you don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. I know and you don't know. That's Kevin. But I'm so thankful that years ago, I felt God saying to me, Kevin, don't talk back. Kevin, don't argue. Kevin, don't get caught in that. Come on, Kevin, is not the whole land before you. Come on, I called you to the Northwest, and I got a plan for your life, and there's a church to be built, and there's lives to be changed. Kevin, walk away. There was a young man just maybe 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. I got pulled in right here in Tacoma, and he may be here today. I got pulled in and before I knew it, man, I was in there with him. I was letting him know. And then finally, thankfully, one of my brothers here stepped in and said, hey. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. And we walked away. He was wrong. I was right. I know it. No, I'm kidding. But the point is that you have to walk away. You have to walk away in a scenario like this and say, this is no longer about a disagreement. This is about me keeping the strife out of my soul. This is about me keeping strife out of my soul. So what do I do? And I'm not bragging about this, but what did I do? I started praying for him. I started saying, God, I went where, you know, I know. For that young man, like, I'm a pastor, and I know all of that, and, like, so forgive me for that moment, and I hope I didn't add fuel to the fire, but most of all, God, I want to just guard my heart. I pray for him. I bless him, and I want to keep the strife out of my soul. Are you following me today? Come on, anybody want to keep going toward what God has for your life? Okay, so the third and the final thing that causes strife is unmet expectations, okay? Unmet expectations. You got to watch out for this because it sneaks up on you, and it often comes out of a sense of entitlement. So strife happens when you assume that someone should do something for you that they don't do, or God should do something that he hasn't done. He has a prayer he hasn't answered.
And I'm going to talk a lot about this next week. I'm going to focus on this. Don't miss next week. Because in Abram's story, there's a big story in the middle of the story as he goes towards sand and stars. Sarah got impatient and took matters into her own hands. And today, the product of that is ongoing strife to this very day. Come next week, find out what I want to talk about, all right? But the bottom line is that it happened in a place where someone says, God's not doing his deal here. And the first thing, like, I'm entitled to have some children. And God, you said this and you ain't doing it. And I'm gonna make this happen. And the force comes, or the bitterness comes, the resentment comes. And this could be as simple as the person you work for not treating you right. It could be as simple as somebody that you think you deserve more from them and you're not getting it. And so you're lobbying. But on the inside, it's all strife. It's like, it's not right. It's not fair. It's not, And before long, your soul is filled with this idea or this sense that you did me wrong and you're not treating me fair. And then so many people hold on to stuff like that and they just don't realize. They don't realize they're sacrificing their future for some sort of resentment, anger. And this is why the Bible tells us to forgive people. Like, how many times, 70 times 7, like, for a start. Why is that? We got to keep strife out of our soul. Everybody's not going to treat you right, but you got to keep strife out of your soul. There's injustice in the world, but you got to keep strife out of your soul. Disagreement is inevitable, but strife is avoidable. And I'm talking about your inside. You can have a peace. If you make a decision that I'm just not going to think about this anymore, I'm not going to talk about it anymore, I'm going to pray for people who have wronged me. If you make those kind of choices in your life, that's what I'm talking about. You're moving strife out of my soul. I'm moving it out of my soul. Why do you do that, Pastor Kevin? Because I don't want to forfeit what God has for me. I want everything. Come on, I want everything. Is not the whole lamb before you? Why would you do that? Why would you get caught in all that silly, petty arguing and complaining? Why? Is not the whole lamb before you? Don't you have a future like that you can invest your thoughts in and your prayers in and your hope in and your desires in? Why would you be bantering and fussing and arguing and complaining and getting all caught up in strife? Is not the whole land before you? I just feel like I'm talking to some folks today. I feel like I'm leaning into places in our life where some of you have an opportunity today to open your heart to hope. To say, you know what? I haven't got a reason to hope in this, but I'm going to open up my heart to it anyway. And I'm gonna get the strife out. It may take me a few days, but I'm gonna get the strife out. I'm gonna bless those who have wronged me. I'm gonna pray for those who have done things I don't like. I'm gonna shut down my television. There's some of you retired people, like, you got way too much time on your hands. Come on, God's not done with you yet. You're retired and you're sitting in front of the TV and anytime anybody comes in contact with you, you're grumbling and complaining about all the stuff that you're watching and all the people I have. It's going to hell in a handbasket and blah, 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 blah. And you don't do that. Don't do that. I love yesterday that our team went to Bellevue. I say our team, Champions Foundation, and hundreds of our members and people went to Bellevue and stood up against human trafficking. Now that's an example of what we do, guys. This is what we do. We care,
Come on, we love. We want to make a difference. Come on, we are light. We are salt. We're not here to curse the darkness. We are here to light a candle. You don't have to have strife in your soul to stand up and shine a light and declare boldly that God has something great, something better. We're going to leave life as it's been, and we're going to extend our hope to people who have no hope, because we're keeping hope in our heart. And we are God's people, and we hope against all reasoning sometimes that we're going to impact lives and be a blessing to the world around us. So thank you, Champions Foundation, everybody who's a part of that. That's how we keep hope alive and in our heart. Okay, so I got to close, but I hate to. I have so many good things to say. Hey, you want to come back next week? You want to bring a friend maybe? Come back. So there's a song that we're singing right now, and I want to tell you the words in case you haven't caught them when they go up on the screen. We're singing it, you know, in our church. And it goes, the words are like this. I'll sing the night into the morning. I'll sing the fear into your praise. I'll sing my soul into your presence whenever I say your name. Devil, no, not today. I love especially the third line. I love it all because it's all about hope. But it says, I'll sing my soul that's getting hammered by strife on every side and conflict and words, and I'll sing my soul into your presence whenever I say your name. Devil, no, not today. So I'll sing this night into the morning. I'll sing the fear into your praise. What are you going to do?
Sing my soul
into your presence
whenever I say your name. Let the devil know not today. I'll sing the night into the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll sing the fear into your praise.
And
I'll sing my soul into your presence whenever I say your name. Let the devil know not today.
Hang on. The Bible says in 3 John verse 2, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prospering. You want to be healthy? You want to have blessing? Start right here. As simple as this might sound to some of you, this is the key. When you feel conflicted on the inside, when you feel upset and angry, when you want to give somebody a piece of your mind, and by the way, you don't have enough to give any away. So hold on to it, all right? And this is what we do. This is my new morning song. This is my wake-up song. I'll sing the night into the morning. Yeah, but Pastor Kevin, you don't know. No, I'll sing the night into the, but Pastor Kevin, like, it's horrible what we're going through right now in our family and our marriage. I'll sing the night into, because if I don't have hope here, trust me, we're not going to get anywhere in our world. I got to have hope. Come on, I got to have strife out of my soul. So what am I going to do? Come on, what am I going to do? I'll sing the night
into the morning. I'll sing the fear into your praise. I'll sing my soul into your presence whenever I say your name.
And now I'm going to throw it down.
Let the devil know not today.
Oh, man. Hey, this is 11:30, and I know some of you all, like, you don't know this, but if you like shorter service, I suggest the 9:45. Because I just kind of have a good time here. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I watched in worship at all. This is my third service to participate in this weekend. And I watched people in worship, and Pastor Nicole said people are up in high places, you know, bouncing, be careful, don't fall, please, you know, all of that. But the truth is we never have a worship experience where there's not people, and I'm not talking about people who are new to Christianity, I'm talking about people who have gone to church, people who, we have no services where there are not people who kind of keep their hands down, and they don't participate, and they don't engage. And the stage is going wild, and people are bouncing around, and that's the way we want it. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's a big deal, like, you know, why? And I want to just suggest that some of you would do yourself a favor if you would pop open when you have no reason to hope, if you would just pop open the opportunity to rise up above your circumstances and sing your way out. Sing your way out. Hey, some people believe, well, you know, I sing when I'm happy, but I dare you try the other and understand that you will be happy when you sing. Don't wait till you're happy. Don't wait till the walls come down. Don't wait till every issue, come on, is resolved in your life. I sing the night into the morning. Yeah, I sing my soul into the devil know not today. Come on, let's give the Lord a good hand, can't we? Yeah. Come on, let's celebrate God's goodness today. Wow. You receive the word? Raise your hand in the air. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every man and woman who is here. I bless every man, woman, family, household. Hands are raised to receive today all that you have for us in our lives. We welcome you. We welcome your power. We cannot and don't want to do life without you. I thank you that your word never returns void. It always accomplishes what it's sent forth to do in our life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you say, I want a new beginning in my life, my relationship with God, I don't know who you are, but all weekend long people make this decision, they get a brand new beginning. I want to pray with you a prayer of new beginnings. There in Bellevue, here in Tacoma, online campus, you need a new start, you want to start a new chapter in your life and relationship with God, join us in this prayer. Pray it out loud. This is your moment, this is your time, this is your day. All right? So let's all pray together. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. Forgive me of all my sin. Make me a new person. I receive you now. You are my leader. You are my Lord. And I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name,
If you prayed that prayer, you got a brand new beginning. Why don't you raise your hand up really high, boldly, all around the room. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Come on. Brand new. Good. God bless you guys. Come on. Let's celebrate.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.